staying with friendly animals. Mongooses, like their cousins meerkats, like to live in colonies. They're not so big, 8 or 10 of them in the territories near the Kruger National Park in South Africa. But their number has been added to by Bristol University's Julie Kern and colleagues, who've been living alongside the mongooses so closely that they're almost part of the business, which is actually what you call a mongoose pack. Their aim is to reveal the social dynamics in these groups, which is maintained partly by sounds like this. And you heard there the cries about an aerial attack imminent, a feeding call, and the continuous murmuring of, "It's all right, guys, I'm watching out." But the purpose of the latest studies was to see how much mongooses would help out their friends in these packs when attacked by a snake. And that started with Julie Kern playing a rather nasty trick to get the mongooses to make their alarm call.
Unfortunately, we did a series of experiments which involved making recordings of some of the vocalizations that they give when they encounter specific snakes, which is a predator for the mongooses, and then play those back at a later stage.
So you just had to wait for a snake to...
Sometimes it was waiting for a snake to show up and being ready to go with the microphone. And then at other times we also used replica rubber snakes just to try and instigate that.
You've been frightening them.
We have. And they think it's a real predator and produce the call that we're after.
That's what this story is all about. You've got some recordings.
So this very high-pitched call that you can hear above the others is the specific call that they give when they spot a snake. So it's very loud and high-pitched, so it travels quite a long distance.
And that's come and help me.
Yeah, and the idea then is that the rest of the group will come along and come to where the caller is, and they all then surround the snake on the ground and do the typical mobbing behaviour that you think of if you think of mongooses or meerkats. So it's a lot of head bobbing and weaving and fast darting into the snake, and the snake is striking back. So it's quite dramatic to be watching.
That mob response is really effective, is it, in terms of saving lives?
Yeah, I think it's in part as a kind of almost teaching or learning tool. So young individuals in particular can encounter snake species and learn which are dangerous, for example. And then also I think the aim is to possibly drive the predator away, or at least indicate to the predator that you've been spotted and we're all fit and healthy.
Now, the thing about this new study of yours is that they don't all help each other equally, is that right?
No, so it seems to be that there's a little bit of preference going on within the groups. What we've done is we've used data that looks at which individuals in the group groom each other or forage close to each other, and we've found that some individuals will share quite strong bonds with one another, whereas other individuals are much, much less strongly bonded. And then if you play back these snake calls, these help calls of an individual that is a close friend, if you like, then those individuals are much more likely to respond than if they hear the call of a group member with whom they're not quite so strongly bonded.
So even after it's been recorded and played back through a loudspeaker, they can say, "Oh, that's just Fred, I can't be bothered."
Yeah, and, "Oh, it's Bob, let's go." So they do seem to really tell the difference.
I have to say, this seems quite mean. So, first of all, you've tormented them to get the sound. Then you wait for another one to come along and you put out basically the mongoose equivalent of a scream.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes my heart go. And then you're waiting to see what kind of behaviour they have. I mean, if they were responding, that they turn around or what?
Yeah, so we look for the typical mobbing response, which would be they would stop what they're doing, they'll stop foraging, face towards the speaker, and then they tend to do a kind of slow approach to the speaker with lots of bobbing and weaving going on. Whereas if they don't respond, they might look up and then just go back to foraging and carry on.
How big are these groups of mongooses?
They're about 9 adults in a group at a time.
It's not large numbers.
No, it's quite small, but there is still a surprising amount of variation in relationships. So there'll be some individuals in the group that are much more marginal than others.
How important are calls in general to the mongooses, and how different is that alarm call for the snakes to the other calls they make.
So very different. They have, I think, vocalizations are incredibly important to them as a species.
So what sort of things do they call for?
They give a contact call, close calls, which everybody gives pretty much all of the time.
And that's just saying, I'm okay.
Here. Yeah, and these we think are individually specific, so different individuals will call at a different pitch.
You know who is and
where they are.
And are there other threats to them besides snakes?
Yeah, definitely. So they are very vulnerable to aerial predators, so birds of prey, and then they give us a specific aerial alarm call.
At which point they do what?
Tend to scatter, so they'll run for cover and try and get underneath the nearest bush that they can.
So is trust part of the story then?
I think probably. It's something that we haven't been able to show yet, but that we'd really love to look at, is to start maybe manipulating the reliability of different individuals, and maybe some are better sentinels, the information that they give might be more reliable, and the same could be true in these snake mob situations.
I mean, it can't be their taste in music or...
No.
But, for example, is there a hierarchy that
there is.
Plays into all this?
Yeah, there certainly is. So you have, in this particular species, they're a cooperative breeder. So that means that there's one male and female pair that are the dominant pair, and they breed and they reproduce the offspring, and then the rest of the group will help to raise the pups and in a number of cooperative activities.
So relatedness could be one reason why they're helping.
Could certainly be a reason why they're helping in general. In terms of the snake mob result that we've got here, we know that some individuals, when we played their friend and their non-friend, as it were, then both of those individuals came from the same litter as the individual that was responding. So in that case, I don't think it's a difference in relatedness that's driving it.
But that's curious. So with these alarm calls, you might help one sibling but not another.
Yes, it seems to be that you will go to the aid of those that you have a stronger bond with, and whether that's because you anticipate that in the future you might get reciprocal help from them if you call for help, or maybe it's more important to you to go to their aid, and the more individuals that mob, the more likely it is that it's going to succeed.
Julie Kern of Bristol University, who's just about to head back to South Africa and continue her studies into the complex social life of those dwarf mongooses.